Solomon is the king, still in 1 Kings chapter 10. Do you remember what God promised Solomon? That's what we looked at when we got together before in chapter 9. God promised Solomon, reminded him of his promise. It was the second time he appeared to him and reminded him of a promise. If you will walk before my face. I'm sure you remember all that. I can't do it all again. Now, what we get to see in chapter 10 is Solomon doesn't do it. Are you shocked? Could have knocked you over with a feather, right? Solomon does not walk in his ways. God said, if you don't, now the kingdom will be taken from you. Solomon is not going to do it. I would like you to notice something. Till the very end of your life, a fall is always possible. To the very end of my life, a fall is always possible. Write that down somewhere. It seems like we think if we've been walking with the Lord 10 years or more, there is nothing stop us now. Solomon will turn from the Lord, and there is, listen closely, no record that he ever turns back. And he turns from the Lord in his old age and does not turn back. And so, as we begin chapter 10, till the very end of my life, a fall is always possible. I will always need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk every day until He comes to get me out of here. I am capable of doing anything without Him. And I have to remember that. And so do you, me and you. Those of you that have been Christians 20, 30 years, you're not finished. You're not finished. Don't even sit back and think that we've got it together, because a fall is always possible. Let me show you what I mean. And the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon. Sheba, modern day Yemen. Where's that? Everybody knows where that is, don't they? Right? I didn't. I had to look at a map. Right directly south of Saudi Arabia. Where the Red Sea comes out into the ocean there, and where on the other side of Yemen, where you begin the Persian Gulf. Modern day Yemen, that's where this queen comes from. That's way south now compared to where Israel is. But she heard way down there of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She heard about God and Solomon's fame. So the works that God has been doing and the wisdom of Solomon has gotten way down south there. And she came to visit him to prove him or to test him with some hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train. Now, no, it wasn't a locomotive. That means lots of whatever they were, camels and etc., carrying stuff. Camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She had hard questions she wanted to ask him. Verse 3 says, Solomon told her all her questions. Meaning, he answered all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He was able to answer these difficult questions that she had. Haven't you heard people come up and say, all right, then if God is love, why is there evil in the world? And all the questions, whatever tough questions she had, Solomon answered. She heard of the Lord God, and she heard of King Solomon and his riches and wisdom. So she came to visit. Jesus, in the New Testament, the Son of God, talks about this visit. He says the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon because of his wisdom, and a greater than Solomon is here. Speaking of himself. In other words, if some queen would come from way down south to visit Solomon, you ought to be listening to me, Jesus says, because I am greater than Solomon. Solomon was wise. Jesus is wisdom. Well, when the queen of Sheba, verse 4, had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, notice verse 5, key verse. and the meat or the food of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their dress or their apparel, and his cupbearers, the butlers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. When she saw how rich he was, how wise he had become, how great his kingdom and the construction that he had done, and when she saw him go up to worship the Lord our God, when she saw that worship and all these other things, this is what she said. It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. But I believed not the words. I didn't believe until I came and my eyes had seen it. And now that I've seen it, behold, half of it wasn't even told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Listen closely, everyone. She now believes in the Lord God. Happy are your men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in you, to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he you to be king, to do judgment and justice. Jesus mentions the Queen of Sheba. Why? Because she went away believing in the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God. Look what he has done for you. Jesus said the queen believed because of dealing with Solomon. Now there is a greater than Solomon. You should be listening to me and you should believe in God and the one whom he has sent. The Queen of Sheba did. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices, a very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She comes out because she has heard of his wisdom and of the works that God has done. When she sees him and sees him go up to worship the Lord, she becomes a believer. She believes in the Lord God and even says, blessed be the Lord God. God has done all this for you. She watched, saw, paid attention, and grasped what was going on. That's why God chose Israel in the first place. That's the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to walk right on with him, worship him. They're supposed to do the very things that Solomon here is going on and doing. And it is to bring them to a saving knowledge when they watch others who worship God. You and I ought to be walking so as to worship him that others see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, Jesus says in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the whole thing. It worked like God wanted it to, but not long. Solomon was super rich. Now we're all the way in verse 21. I paraphrased those other verses. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were made of gold. Verse 21. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were silver. Why? Oh, silver wasn't accounted much in those days, in the days of Solomon. Gold was where it was at. He cornered the gold market. He could work in today's world perfectly. But he was super rich. Now the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the navy came of Tarshish bringing gold and silver and ivory and monkeys and peacocks. Now we've got a problem. I know you already recognize the scripture. Or you already see what's going wrong. Now, first of all, what are you going to do with monkeys, with apes, and peacocks? He was building a petting zoo. And a circus, if you will. Entertainment. He started collecting and getting richer, and he brought in entertainment from far, and he brought every so many years they bring more peacocks and more monkeys, and they would do shows and entertainment, and he's building, and he's building, and he's building. And the question is simple for you and I. What are you and I building? What are you and I collecting? Let me tell you something. Deuteronomy chapter 17 says that the king should not collect a lot of gold. and make himself rich, super rich. That God would take care of that. So it was against what God had commanded for him to be doing these things. And entertainment started to become where it was at, as opposed to serving God. All of a sudden, he began to spend time collecting, getting a petting zoo, getting a little circus going. Now, where's his heart? Where's his attitude? Where's his mind all the time? Stuff. Solomon's in trouble. You can see it coming. He is in trouble. Is there anything wrong with being wealthy? Not at all. But his wealth is starting to cause him trouble. He's not using it rightly. He's starting to really use it more and more on himself. Is Solomon rich? Yes, the richest probably in the world at this point. Even greater than Microsoft. But he's using it on himself. And we've got a problem here, Cousin Solomon. And Solomon, verse 26, gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen who he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. Did you hear that? 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16. This is what the king will not do, must not do. It's a command that he shall not do. He shall not multiply horses to himself. Did you hear that? Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to collect horses. I'll read it in King James. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said to you, you shall not from now on return no more that way. Where are the horses coming from? Well, let's just read verse 28. Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. Oh, Solomon. And linen yarn, the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of the Syria did they bring them out by their means. Where did they go to get these horses and the chariots? Egypt. What did Deuteronomy 17:16 say? The king shall not multiply to himself horses, and he shall not return to Egypt to bring horses out of Egypt. What did Solomon do? The very thing God said the king should not do. Is he in trouble? Yeah, he is. But it didn't stop there. You and I, we get a lot of stuff. We're doing great. Things are going well. What's the first thing? If you are afraid one piece of gold is going to, you're going to miss out on it. We panic. We got enough food in our house to go a week, yet we panic and we want enough for a year. And is that what God wants from us? Solomon, this is not what God wants from you. The king won't do that. Why? Why did he put such stress and such pressure on the man at the top? Because he didn't like the king. No. Wrong. Close though. No. Because he knew, as the man at the top does, everybody else will follow. Try it sometime, you that have employees. Go out and start barking at the moon. Try it. Eventually they'll be out there with you. Even if they're not barking, they'll be looking. What's he barking at? Don't say anything, man. He signs a paycheck. Oh, yeah. Oh, woof, woof. Because God says if the king does it, the people are going to want to do it that way. And they're going to learn wrong, and he's going to lead them wrong. And so the leader has to be the servant of all. And so that king, Deuteronomy goes on to say, that he's got to write out the entire law by hand, all by himself. Write it out and read it every day. Not the entire law every day, but read from the law every day. In other words, he has to read his Bible every day. But he has to write it. How many of you have written your whole Bible? Well, let's not get ridiculous. Let's just not put pressure on you. All he had to write was the first five books. How many of you have written it out? How many have written the first five chapters? Holy cow, there is one. Wait a minute. Holy cow, that's a Hindu thing. We don't do this. And then he had to read it every day. And he forgot what it said. But we're in chapter 11 now. And King Solomon loved many strange women. That doesn't mean, no, ladies, wait, put those down. Strange not in the fact that they were like mental or something. Strange in the fact that they were outside or from outside of Israel. That would make them strange. They were Moabites or Hittites or Canaanites or termites. They were something outside of Israel. There was a group of singles back in the Midwest. I spoke at their singles conference. And this just reminds me. That has nothing to do with nothing. But anyway, they couldn't decide what night to meet on. Are you ready? This is a clever bunch. And they couldn't meet Saturdays because the youth met. They couldn't meet Tuesdays because the young married couples met. So they decided they didn't know what night. So they decided what they'll do is they'll call each other every week and they'll all decide what night this week we can meet on. And they called themselves the Ennio Knights. That's the truth. It's a singles group called the Ennio Knights. And I always think, I almost said it, but if I would have said Ennio Knights, you wouldn't have laughed. Now you know. Now from now on, would you laugh? So King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon stuck to them like glue in love. Well, he'd already started down the wrong path a long time back when he started his petting zoo and the apes and the peacocks. He's headed the wrong way. Are you tonight headed the wrong way? Are you slowly starting to walk down a path that you know for sure the Bible has said don't go there, yet you're slowly going because it's not a big deal. Plus, God doesn't seem to be saying a lot. Your friends don't seem to mind it. So here you go. And so now he marries 700 wives and 300 concubines, for a total of 1,000 wives. And what did they do? They turned his heart away. From what? Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17. I already read to you verse 16. Now let's read verse 17. This is the king shall not do this, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. It's like he wrote it down, he read it this morning, and said, I'm going to do exactly opposite whatever God says today. 1,000 wives, when God said, do not do that, you should not be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. If you are single and you ever plan to someday marry, then you had better begin to make the right kind of plans. And those plans include a Christian if you are a Christian. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Don't marry a non-believer. Here's a trick. You won't marry anybody that you don't love, or at least think that you love, and you won't love anybody that you don't hang around. Get it? Don't date non-believers. You're not going to convert them. Well, I just want to, he'll come to the Lord, she'll come to the Lord. Right. Let me tell you what'll happen. You'll be shipwrecked at the other end, but you won't be walking with the Lord. And neither will they. That's what the Bible tells you. It's what you've got to look forward to. Do not unequally yoke yourself with a non-believer. Solomon did. 1,000 of them. Boy, God said, don't do it. And it's like he just jumped in the deep end, didn't he? Well, look. It came to pass when Solomon was old. I'll read you what I said earlier. Till the very end of my life, a fall is always possible. You too. You don't have it together just because, you know, you think, well, I'm ugly. Nobody wants me anymore. No, you don't. Remember, a fall is always possible till you're finished with this life. And we need to walk that way. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. And his heart was not mature or complete or perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, false god, goddess, the goddess of war and sexuality, known to the Assyrians as Ishtar, which is where we get our word Easter. You know, the sex goddess, the rabbit laying the, you know, the eggs, the rabbit for fertility, and then the eggs, of course. You know, you've heard all that before. Ishtar, known to the Greeks and the Romans as Astarte. All the same, Ashtaroth. Sexual orgies, violence, strange things. He worshipped. Solomon went after. To go after means to worship. To follow. It wasn't that his wives were just doing it. Solomon turned and began to worship these gods and goddesses. Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Milcom, you would probably recognize the name Milcom better. The name we use is Molech. Molech. The abomination of the Ammonites, also known as Baal. Human sacrifices, usually children. They would make an image made of brass or some kind of metal, heat it up to where it was glowing hot, and they would put babies on it. And they would fry them and offer them. Some of the babies would walk through fire, like you're seeing fire walking today. They would walk through fire on hot coals with just their feet, and on the other side they belonged to that god, Molech. Some were sacrificed, some were put into Molech's service for life. That's why it's called the abomination of the Amorites. Ammonites. So we got Ashtaroth. So that means Solomon, listen everyone, listen, Solomon was doing human sacrifices. Learned that from his wife. Well, one of them, or a few of them. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, verse 7. The god of Moab. Some of his wives were Moabites or Moabitesses. Human sacrifices were common to Chemosh and sexual orgies. And you could figure that with 1,000 wives. I'm sure there was a lot of strange going on at Solomon's house. Besides literally sacrificing babies and other humans. You wouldn't think that a wise king would be so stupid. But you see, what happened was his head and his eyes were turned away from God and the things of God. It could happen to any one of us, anyone. And the one it will happen to quickest is the one that says it could never happen to me. Peter. Others might, Lord, but I never will. Oh, is that so, Peter? Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. No way, Lord, I would die for you. We call that the foot and mouth syndrome. When you and I begin to think, oh, I couldn't be like Solomon. Don't even think that. I could. So could you. And Solomon was warned, if you will walk before my face in front of my eyes, if, etc., etc., God will bless. But if not, the kingdom will be taken from you. What do you think is going to happen to cousin Solomon? Well, Solomon built on the high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that that is before Jerusalem. Everyone, if you'd like to know where he built those altars to sacrifice children, if you'd like to know where he built those altars to worship the goddess of sexuality and the orgies and some of the things that went on, it's called the Mount of Olives, where Jesus rode down claiming to be the Messiah, accepting worship. Right on that high place across from the temple, so that you could see right from the temple the garbage going on. So he's got his God here and his God's over here, and he's playing them both. Are you living that way? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I walk with God. But are you worshiping other gods on the side? Because God says he won't have it. He's a jealous God. He won't share his glory with anybody. It has to be all the Lord or none of the Lord. All the way in or all the way out. There's no middle of the road. There's no gray. We're starting to hear churches now. The Methodist Church, God bless them. We just got some information this week that now they're adding in their 2000, the new prayer book that they're printing up for the year 2000. They will pray to Father God and Mother God. Now, they fought over that and didn't want to because of the fundamentalists in their group, but finally they got it approved, and so for the year 2000 and on, they'll, in their communion, Holy Communion services, Father God and Mother God. All you got to do is just start down a path. That's all you got to do. We're all capable of it. Just start walking. We'll realize down at the far end that we're too far. And I'm telling you right now, Solomon's going to die. He never turned back. How do I know? Because when Josiah, now that's a long time from now when little Josiah comes on the scene. A long time. He's the one that will tear down these altars. The altars remained up for the whole time to show you that Solomon didn't come back. Likewise, verse 8, did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. And did you read that? Does your Bible say that? The Lord was angry with Solomon. Because his heart was turned from the Lord. God said, don't multiply yourself unto yourself wives. Don't marry outside of the faith. Because they are going to turn your heart from God. Men, are you listening? Hello? You know, I hear all this council stuff about the man being the priest of the home. Come on. Are you sure? First, you have to be born again. And then, once you're born again, you need to have a walk with God. You're not going to be the priest of nobody's house if you have got a walk with God. But the women are coming in, making you be the priest. Because somehow they've taken authority. You're going to be the priest. You're going to do this. I ain't going to help you. I'm not going to lift a finger, but you're going to do it. Just here. I'm in charge. And then you go to counselor because you got marriage problems, and the counselor says, become the priest of your home. How? You can't. You must be born again, and you've got to begin to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Then you don't need to beat your house up and make them come and listen to you read. Or when you say, you want to pray, they go, yeah, oh, we want to pray. No, then it's going to be because there's a relationship with God. And so all these marriage seminars everybody wants, spend your money, go for it. I could save you a lot of money. Do you have a Bible? We can give you one free. Save you tons of money, and I'll save you a lot of hassles of trying all these things that they're trying to get you to do. Keep notes, take this, take that. Hey, get a relationship with the Lord that's real. Then you won't need any special weekends. Or maybe you can use your money and go to Hawaii or go to Texas. Or something really romantic like that. You guys don't like Texas? What? God says this. He commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, verse 10. But he did not keep that which the Lord had commanded. Wherefore the Lord said to Solomon, for as much as you have done this of thee, or this is done of thee, that you have not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding, in your days I will not do it for David thy father's sake. While you're alive, Solomon, I won't do it. While you are alive, I won't do it, but I'm tearing the kingdom from you. Because I told you, you need to walk with me. And you chose not to. I'm going to take the kingdom and give it to someone that's not even in your family. A servant of yours. But I won't do it while you're alive. There's an old saying. And it's mentioned twice in Scripture. It's an old proverb. And it says, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Remember that old proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. See, what happens is when you and I sin and destroy this country, we're going to get by with it, it always feels like. Because it's going to take a little while for the repercussions to show up. But your kids are going to be in a real mess, guaranteed, because of what we've done. See, the fathers have eaten sour grapes. The children's teeth are going to be set on edge. Now you watch. We see now, some of us, what our parents did. But yet, God has told us, if this happens, this is the results. And it's happened. But you see, it's your children who are going to get the full effect of it. It'll come to fruition. It'll grow. You'll be, most of you, be dead and gone. And your kids and your grandkids are going to pay a severe, extreme price for this. And we know it. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 18, they both mention the sour grapes and the children's teeth on edge. Remember that. Because God says, Solomon, you're old now. You're going to die. You'll die. But what's going to happen is your children. Hey, think about this too. Those of us who live in freedom right now, we didn't earn it. We were, most of us, born into it. Notice Solomon didn't fight for and earn the peace. He was David's kid. It was a blessing upon David. It came in Solomon's time. David fought the wars. When finally there was peace, David was finished. Solomon moved in and became rich and peace and all. There was no wall around Jerusalem. There was no need. No enemy was strong enough to attack. Jerusalem was wide open and free. Later on, after Solomon's death, they're going to have to build a wall around Jerusalem to protect it. From the Father's goodness and obedience came the blessings. From the Father's disobedience come the curse. You catching on to a pattern here? And you can see it in our own lives? Well, he says, I'm going to take away. What God says is, the Lord's, He says, howbeit, verse 13, I will not tear away all the kingdom, because I promised David. He says, I will give one tribe to your son for David, my servant's sake. He promised David there would always be David's throne and line would always be, right? So he's going to keep the promise to David, but he says, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you and give it to someone who's not related to your servant. But I'm going to keep my promise to David. I'll give you one tribe. Now, when he says, I'm going to give you one tribe, understand what he's saying. The tribe of Judah, which Solomon comes from, that automatically stays with Solomon. So he's going to give him one tribe plus the tribe that Solomon is of. Does that make sense to you? In other words, Judah is understood, and it looks like the tribe that comes along with him is that tiny little tribe of Benjamin. So when God says, I'm going to leave one tribe with you, Judah stands with Solomon because they're related, and Benjamin will come along. So in other words, 10 of the tribes, the country's going to split north and south. 10-2 coming up. God says, but for David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Now come all the way over to verse 26. Solomon's been getting enemies. Jeroboam. Son of Nebat, Ephrathite, Zerita, Solomon's servant, whose mother was named Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause he lifted up his hand against the king. King Solomon built Milo, repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. He was a mighty man. He was a servant of Solomon. Not related. He was a servant. And Solomon saw, seeing the young man, that he was industrious and really gifted. He made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. In our language, Solomon made Jeroboam his overseer of public works. Remember, Joseph oversaw all the construction. So Solomon gives Jeroboam that position. He lifts him up from a servant to be over all the entire public works of the land. Because the kid was gifted. So he lifted him up high. Came to pass, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, a prophet, Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. And Jeroboam was wearing a kind of a new outfit, kind of a new over outfit, overcoat kind of thing. He was clad himself with a new garment. And the two were alone in the field. So Ahijah, the prophet, grabbed the new garment and tore it into 12 pieces. Bummer, huh? And he said to Jeroboam, "Take these 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. I'm going to give you to be king over 10 tribes." The servant raised up to be over public works, now he's going to be king over 10 tribes. But he shall have one tribe, of course it'll be the Benjamin, and of course the tribe that he is in Judah. For my servant David's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because that they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, or Molech, the god of the children of Ammon. Because they worship other gods, God turns from them. Remember that. When a country, when a people worship false gods, God turns from them. He will not share you and I. If we begin to worship false gods, He will not share that glory. He says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me." He will not share me. And that's why Elijah says, "Choose today who you're going to serve." That's why Joshua says, "Choose today who you're going to serve." We have to make a choice. Solomon chose to go after other gods. So God says, "They have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand." Verse 34. "I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and statutes. Because of David, I will be sure that some of the kingdom remains. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it to you 10 tribes. Unto his son I will give the one tribe," which would include Judah, "and then the one tribe of Benjamin, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name there. And I will take you, and you shall reign according to all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. And it shall be," listen, he makes the same statement to this king, Jeroboam, "It shall be if you will listen unto all I command and will walk in my ways and do that is right in my sight to keep my statutes and commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with you. If you will walk with me, I will walk with you. And I'll build you a house sure as I built for David and give Israel to you. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever." Solomon, when he heard that, sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Jeroboam got up and had to run away into Egypt to hide unto King Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt till the death of Solomon. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, they're written in the book of the Acts of Solomon. You can find it in 2 Chronicles. And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Solomon died and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Solomon is now dead after 40 years of being king. He was turned away because he didn't listen to God. God says, "If you don't, I will take the kingdom from you." God gives 10 tribes over to Jeroboam, who's going to be the north country coming up soon. And he gave the two tribes, Judah, which is understood, and another tribe, the small tribe of Benjamin, to Rehoboam, So now you have Jeroboam the king and Rehoboam the king. You're going to see it's going to split soon. And you got two kings. If you ever wondered how that happened, here's where it is. How did it happen? Because God said, if you will not listen, I will find someone who will. We're working with the same God under a period of grace, true. But God was graceful always. Don't think that He's changed. He hasn't changed. I really think we just need to keep in mind we've been given freely salvation. We have a walk that we need to complete. We need God's Holy Spirit at all times. Men and women, we need to do the things God's called us to do at all times. You need His Holy Spirit to do that. You need to ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. We cannot change the past. We can see that our children, and should the country last that long, their children are headed for slavery, for misery, for suffering. They're headed for real trouble. There may not even be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Much longer. Your children may not even realize what that was, or if they do study and schools remain, they'll read about it as history. Because we've turned our backs on God and we've misused what He's given us and we've started to spend it on ourselves. You saw Solomon do that. We learn a lot in the Old Testament. If your life as an individual, if you see yourself beginning to use it on you, beginning to spend it on you, beginning to think that it's all for you, stop and thank the Lord for what He's given you and begin to use your talent, your abilities, your stuff for His glory, for His kingdom. God loves Solomon, but Solomon turned his back on the Lord. And again, as I told you, no record of him ever turning again to the Lord. Those high places remained and the worship continued on till Solomon was dead. So keep in mind, till the very end of my life, a fall is always possible. I need His mercy, His grace, His Holy Spirit guiding me, leading me, walking me through. Read through these chapters again when you get some time. Pray about these things. See what the Lord speaks to your heart. Let's bow our heads together.